with a lot more sensible, they were told, to stop worrying about that sort of thing and really get to grips with Wadderley's occult primer instead. Funnily enough, this didn't seem to satisfy, and young wizards suspected that the real reason was that the rules were made by old wizards, with poor memories. They were quite wrong, although the real reason had long been forgotten. If wizards were allowed to go around breeding all the time, there was a risk of sorcery. Of course, Rincewind had been around a bit, and had seen a thing or two, and had thrown off his early training to such an extent that he was quite capable of spending hours at a time in a woman's company without having to go off for a cold shower and lie down. But that voice would have made even a statue get down off its pedestal for a few brisk laps of the playing field and 50 press-ups. It was a voice that could make "good morning" sound like an invitation to bed. The stranger threw back her hood and shook out her long hair. It was almost pure white. Since her skin was tanned golden, the general effect was calculated to hit the male libido like a lead pipe. Rincewind hesitated and lost a splendid opportunity to keep quiet. From the top of the stairs came a thick, trollish voice.
"Here! I said you can't go through there!"
She sprang forward and shoved a round leather box into Rincewind's arms.
"Quick, you must come with me," she said. "You are in great danger."
"Why?"
"Because I will kill you if you don't."
"Yes, but hang on a minute. In that case," Rincewind protested feebly. Three members of the Patrician's personal guard appeared at the top of the stairs. Their leader beamed down at the room. The smile suggested he intended to be the only one to enjoy the joke.
"Don't nobody move," he suggested.
Rincewind heard a clatter behind him as more guards appeared in the back door. The drum's other customers paused with their hands on assorted hilts. These weren't the normal city watch, cautious and genially corrupt. These were walking slabs of muscle, and they were absolutely unbribable, if only because the patrician could outbid anyone else. Anyway, they didn't seem to be looking for anyone except the woman. The rest of the clientele relaxed and prepared to enjoy the show. Eventually, it might be worth joining it, once it was certain which was the winning side. Rincewind felt the pressure tighten on his wrist.
"Are you mad?"
he hissed. "This is messing with the man." There was a swish, and the sergeant's shoulder suddenly sprouted a knife hilt. Then the girl spun around and with surgical precision planted a small foot in the groin of the first guard through the door. 20 pairs of eyes watered in sympathy. Rincewind grabbed his hat and tried to dive under the nearest table, but that grip was steel. The next guard to approach got another knife in the thigh. Then she drew a sword like a very long needle and raised it threateningly.
"Anyone else?" she said.
One of the guards raised a crossbow. The librarian, sitting hunched over his drink, reached out a lazy arm like two broom handles strung with elastic and slapped him backwards. The bolt rebounded from the star on Rincewind's hat and hit the wall by a respected procurer who was sitting two tables away. His bodyguards threw another knife, which just missed a thief across the room, who picked up a bench and hit two guards, who struck out at the nearest drinkers. After that, one thing sort of led to another, and pretty soon everyone was fighting to get something, either away, out, or even. Rincewind found himself pulled relentlessly behind the bar. The landlord was sitting on his moneybags under the counter with two machetes crossed on his knees, enjoying a quiet drink. Occasionally the sound of breaking furniture would make him wince. The last thing Rincewind saw before he was dragged away was the librarian. Despite looking like a hairy rubber sack full of water, the orangutan had the weight and reach of any man in the room and was currently sitting on a guard's shoulders and trying with reasonable success to unscrew his head. Of more concern to Rincewind was the fact that he was being dragged upstairs.
"My dear lady," he said desperately, "what do you have in mind?"
"Is there a way onto the roof?"
"Yes. What's in this box?"
"Shh."
She halted at a bend in the dingy corridor, reached into a belt pouch, and scattered a handful of small metal objects on the floor behind them. Each one was made of four nails welded together so that however the things fell, one was always pointing upwards. She looked critically at the nearest doorway.
"You haven't got about 4 feet of cheese wire on you, have you?" she said wistfully.
She'd drawn another throwing knife and was throwing it up and catching it again.
"I don't think so," said Rincewind weakly.
"Pity, I've run out. Okay, come on."
"Why? I haven't done anything."
She went to the nearest window, pushed open the shutters, and paused with one leg over the sill.
"Fine," she said over her shoulder. "Stay here and explain it to the guards."
"Why are they chasing you?"
"I don't know."
"Oh, come on, there must be a reason."
"Oh, there's plenty of reasons. I just don't know which one. Are you coming?"